Hey! Oh my god, you're back! This is fantastic. I'm Claire Bottomley and I'm your host, and this certainly is the Recruiting Superhero. Yep, you're excited, I'm excited. And if you can't wait anymore, go ahead, listen, and let me know what you think. In this episode of The Recruiting Superhero, I am speaking with a fellow recruitment consultant. I know, weird, huh? We actually engage and collaborate. Anyway, I'm speaking with Alex Karika. Alex is starting up on her own, providing candidates in the fintech space. Now, this is not the only reason I invited her on. She has a very unique vision of what the candidate journey should contain on agency side. And she is using this episode to platform her new business idea, which will centre all around supporting candidates' mental health through the recruitment journey. And it doesn't stop there. She's also offering to be a piggy bank for each candidate. Find out more about her, her new business venture, and how to reach out. If you like what you heard, please remember to follow and share. So, hello, Alex.
Hi, Claire.
Oh my God, the audio works. How do we get this? How did this happen?
We made it work.
For everyone that, I mean, I'm sure people have the same problem in Zoom or Skype or whatever you use. You know, you sit there and you're constantly trying to get the audio work and everyone seems to think they've done the right thing. But today it's on point.
It is. I can hear you perfectly. I hope you can Yay. Hear me fine too.
Yeah, I can. I can. Okay, so on this episode, I've invited Alex Karika on because Alex was recommended to me as somebody that is currently setting up on her own and basically ready to take on the world of recruiting. Both me and Alex had a quick catch-up call and chat previously, and I was really taken back with her enthusiasm and passion for looking outside the box to help candidates in a very special way. So before we get into the whole depths of that, I'm going to pass you over to her so she can fully introduce herself so you can get to know her. So yeah, there you go. Alex, over to you.
Thank you. So yeah, my background, I've only been in recruitment for 3 years, a bit of a mix. 1.5 years was in a proper Wolf of Wall Street type of company, and then after that into something a bit more flexible. And I figured this would be a perfect time to set up by myself. Some people might say it's insane. Some people might say it's a smart move. I guess we'll find out later down the line.
I really appreciate that little introduction there. Hopefully everyone gives you a little bit of a flavor of who she is. So as I said before, in this episode, I wanted to focus on Alex and her vision in recruitment. And this involves her supporting candidates' mental health from the offer stage to walking through the door. So you might be thinking, well, hey, you know, what's different? Us recruiters continually engaging with candidates, we talk to them, we support them. Aren't we already doing that? Supporting our candidates? Well, in the eyes of Alex, we are not. And she has a great new idea that she is going to explain to you listeners. So over to you, Alex. Tell the listeners about your idea.
So the main idea is providing wellness and mental health therapy sessions for candidates post-placement. So during the transition period of moving into their new jobs, I've partnered up with an external company to offer candidates someone that they can speak to, they can talk about the anxieties of starting a new job, and just generally making that transition period easier.
So this is your candidates. This is your candidates that you've worked with, that you've dealt with your clients, and this is part of a little support package that you offer in placing somebody. Is that
yeah,
right?
Exactly. So the moment they get an offer, I find that psychologically you get a massive high. You know, you get all excited that you received an offer, and then suddenly you get a lull because reality hits and you realize, oh, but I was so comfortable in my old situation. I'm going to miss my colleagues and my friends back at work, or there's, you know, the prospect of counter offers. And what you don't have in that transition period is that constant communication and making sure that candidates feel comfortable with the decision they're making. The whole point of having an external party is that, one, I'm not a mental health therapist.
Yeah.
And secondly, there's going to be a bit of bias there if I'm working with my clients. And yeah, I would want them to take the job. But the whole point of having that is that they can comfortably go and talk to someone during that period to deal with any stresses that they might have in the 4 week or 3 month notice period that they have.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, I find this quite interesting myself. I think I agree with you fully. I've been in recruitment a number of years, and it's actually part of my job that I love, if I'm honest as well. I mean, that's one reason why I love doing this podcast, because I'm talking to people, I'm getting to grips with real situations and real thoughts and opinions. So when you're speaking to a candidate and they're really divulging lots of personal information and they're telling you their worries and anxieties, sometimes we just take it as a pinch of salt. I'm sure you agree, Alex, we just do, that's what we do.
Yeah.
But actually, it could be quite imperative and very important that sometimes these particular individuals, or some certainly, would gain great benefit out of receiving or being part of a small little journey of mental, making sure you're completely aware of your decisions and it's non-biased. So it's not from the client, it's not from the candidate, it's not from the client, it's not going to be from Alex, it's going to be from a separate business. I'm assuming I've got that right, haven't I?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. Completely. Yeah. And just as you mentioned, recruiters, once you've established that trust with candidates, they tend to divulge so much information.
We're like hairdressers, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly. Literally. And emotions can be high. You know, they're stressed about maybe their financial situation, whether they have a mortgage. You get an insight of their happiness, their home life. And a lot of the time, if you work in a recruitment company, once you got that offer, your manager is going to tell you, right, where's the next one coming from? Right. So your focus is no longer there for that specific candidate. Yeah. And I guess for me, it's that gap that I need to fill, and I want to make sure that there's real value there.
I think that's brilliant. I think that is the one reason, the main reason why I wanted to bring you on, Alex. Like I said to the listeners before, I have spoken to you previously and I was taken aback by you thinking outside of that. And I that's how I think myself. I often trying to make sure that the candidate has received a good journey along the whole way and is okay and everything's okay, because things change. But it's very rare to meet other recruiters that have that same mentality. And this was great hearing Alex come up with this same thought process. And now she's looking at a solution at how to implement that, maybe changing the way we hire or we deal with candidates in this particular piece. So the other idea is, I guess to me is, well, my other question is, where is this coming? This is really new to me. I don't know anything about it. I've not seen any kind of thing about it. Where did this come from? Did you just wake up one day and think, this is me? Where did it come from? Where did the idea come from?
Idea came out of just looking at what is going on at the moment. Everything on LinkedIn, speaking to my candidates in the market and thinking, what could people really do with right now?
Yeah.
As I mentioned, since the pandemic, emotions have been really high. And I feel as though a certain level of humanity has been brought to the surface. And the other thing that you see on LinkedIn is, you know, people getting furloughed, being made redundant. And as recruiters, we take a lot of that on when we're trying to speak to candidates. So I was really sitting there thinking, surely the recruitment model can be changed. We cannot keep using the same recruitment model that we have been for the past 15 years or however long. There has to be something that we can do to change it.
Well, no,
you're not recruitment bashers.
We're not recruitment bashers. This is exactly it. Yeah. I mean, we're not here sitting there telling everybody that if you're not like us, you're not great. That's not how it is. All it's saying is that actually thinking a little bit more about that. But then, you know, that particular process is actually quite important. I have conversations with clients a lot of the time and try and get them to really understand their onboarding process, because one small error, one small problem, a negative or a consistent couple of negatives can really cause a lot of anxiety and ultimately either a no to the offer that you're going to be offering, or it can be that they are uncomfortable about the whole journey itself, going it leading up to actually, you know, starting with you. So what this is saying is basically trying to make sure, or at least try and focus, this candidate will have the ability to open up their mind a little bit more clearer without feeling like it's being pushed or pulled in either way. And that's ultimately, that's a help right there.
I see it as a cushion. I see it as just a nice little cushion where they feel as though they haven't just received an offer and now it's empty. You know, now it's like, it's a free fall of, oh, okay, what happens now? Yep. There's an actual process.
Yeah.
And what I did was I sat down and I looked at the recruitment process from beginning to end, from the very moment that a client tells you what they want. How does that candidate journey actually look like?
Yeah.
And where can you make it better? We don't have to stick to what every single agency does.
Yeah, I think it's true. You don't have to be the same. Sometimes thinking outside the box and doing something different and seeing how it works. How would you know that this worked? Is it a big risk for you, do you think? Because it's not done at all. Nobody's doing something like this. Do you have a confidence that you know it will work? Have you seen it elsewhere or something maybe similar elsewhere?
Right. Full truth, I have absolutely no idea.
I love
if it's going to work. I genuinely no idea. But the whole point of it is that the candidate has a choice and they have an option to if they want to. It's a service there that's provided that I'm happy to provide for them because I know if one person sees value in it, then that works for me.
That's true. I just wanted to highlight again to listeners, just because I'm not sure we touched on it at all, but when Alex is saying that this is a service she offers, this is exactly what it is. It's a service she offers, full stop, no extra signups, no extra payment, no extra whatever fees. It's something that she is able to offer you as part of you feeling amazing and great about receiving an offer. And she's just saying, oh, here's the cherry on the top. If you want it, a few sessions just to get you through period from now, finishing off your last role and waiting for your new role to start, which have got a few sessions on offer to you completely. You know, it's not compulsory. You don't have to take it, but they're there for you to have. Am I right in saying that? See, how brilliant is that? Like, I think that's, I mean, it could be a little bit crazy. It could be crazy, but I'm also quite enthused by it. I think it's a great idea. I think if you manage to get the support right from the company, or what I'm assuming you've met the company, you've spoken to the company, they're really on board. Yep. So yeah, I can see
this. The company also said we are the first ever recruitment agency that's ever approached them for this type of service. They've Woo! Never had it before. So Woo-hoo! I thought that was interesting.
Alex, you are driving. No, this is great. I love it. This is exactly what it should be like. What space do you work in again? What particular recruitment?
Fintech, specifically for compliance and financial crime.
Okay, so that is where you're going to be seeing this. Is it, I mean, would you say it's quite important in the fintech space as opposed to some other?
I think the culture of fintechs, they tend to be a lot more agile and forward thinking. Okay. Whereas if you bring this idea to a corporate established institution, I find that normally they have their structure, they have their process, and it's a lot of work to try and change it or kind of step outside of that in some ways. So I feel as though they might not understand it as much. But fintechs, because they're based on innovation and startups are based on, you know, new products and stuff like that. In basic terms, it's an offering of up to 6 sessions with a specialized mindfulness company that I've partnered up with. And you would get this in the period of receiving your offer and actually starting the job. Now, with fintechs, they are quite happy to take this on board. And I guess the other thing with the candidates that I noticed and what I'm going to be doing is fintechs generally are quite well known for funding. They lack money. There's budgets. There's a lot of uncertainty of whether the fintech will actually succeed or not.
Yeah.
And because of that, they tend to not offer a great employee package when it comes to training and upskilling.
Okay.
So I had a candidate come to me and say, Alex, I really want to do this course because I think it will help me with my future employability, but it costs £600 and my company doesn't offer it. So what I'm doing is I'm post-placement, I want to offer candidates a pot where I enroll them onto a specific
course.
Oh, whoa, course.
Hang on, hold up, Alex. So, whoa, Alex, you're going way too far. So not only are you going to be offering the mindfulness sessions, hang on, let me, we need to get the grips here. Not only are you offering mindfulness sessions up to 6 for people that you have placed, so, but you are then going to also create a little piggy bank for them?
Yes.
This is just, where is this coming from, this money?
Well, if you're going to look at it from a money perspective, I guess you can have a certain percentage of the make, whether that's 5%, 10%,
yep,
to invest directly back into the candidate to make sure that they have all the necessary skills and everything that they want to further their journey. And this comes back to my brand as well. The whole point of it is that it's based on a career journey. It's a career narrative. And so, I want to be a part of helping that.
I think that's not just a massive USP to a candidate. That's a massive USP to a new client. Hey, client, you pay me this, but actually I don't take all of it. I actually take 2% or 3% of it goes into this particular pot for this particular candidate moving forward. If you don't use it, you don't use it. It goes back in my pocket, I'm assuming. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But it's there for training only if you're not able to subsidize your candidates learning on or upskilling on site. Well, that's how, yeah, I heard it. Wow. Wowzers, wowzers, wowzers. Who are you, Alex? Where have you come from?
Oh, thanks, Claire.
No, that's all right. Well, so let's not leave everybody in suspense. Obviously, everyone's here listening going, well, what's the company name, Claire? And I'm going, be patient, guys and girls. Okay. Alex, please do the honors. What is your company's name?
So the company is called Tale.
Okay.
T-A-L-E.
So as in a story tale.
There we go. Yeah? Is that exactly it?
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. So why is that exactly it? What does that come from? Wow. Where does that come from?
To me, it's about the importance of narratives. I want to rebrand this image of the candidate story and the candidate experience. And I want to be a part of a candidate's career narrative and their journey. With my agency, I want it to be a positive career narrative and just something that I can help you with in your story, essentially. It doesn't have to be this corporate sort of stereotype of recruitment. I want it to be a pleasant journey, and I want it to be about changing people's journeys along the way.
And so you were like, it needs to be short and sweet, and Tale it is, right?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I actually
don't lie.
At the words.
Are you normally honest? Do you normally just speak the truth then?
Too honest for my own good.
No, I tell you why I said that. Listen, quick story about myself. Now, I always naturally say, I'm not going to lie. That's what I naturally say. Just the same as I'm going to be honest or, to be fair. And all of those things, I say them without even thinking. Now, my partner is from New Zealand and his family came over last year. And the New Zealand, everyone knows a Kiwi, they just speak as it is. It's only us English that add all these silly kind of words in that are just ridiculous. So I would speak to them and I'd say, look, yeah, I know. Well, I'm not going to lie. And then I'd say that what I wanted to say. Then they would say things like, they'd stop me and go, do you normally not tell the truth then? And I was like, sorry, what are you
talking
about?
That's a good point. And yeah,
I was like, what are you talking about? And they said, you just said at the beginning of that sentence, you're not going to lie. And I went, did I?
Implies you do all the time.
Yeah. So I said, God, oh my gosh. So I found it quite funny when you just said that, because I was thinking that's an English thing to do. That's what we do. We fill with sentences that we don't actually know we're saying.
Well, let me start again. So I was sitting at home at my computer trying to come up with a name, and then I looked at the word talent and I just got rid of N-T at the end, and I thought, Tale. That could work. Yeah.
I love it. That's quite kind of directive and short and sweet. Very nice.
Yeah.
I liked it.
thank you.
Have you, look, before we wrap everything up and you know, you've got things to do, we've got things to do. What is there anything else that anyone can find you, anything you're involved in? Are you speaking or attending anywhere or doing anything virtual where listeners sort of can find out a little bit more about you and your company and what you do?
So the official launch of my branding and everything is going to happen in the next week.
Okay.
So The main content is on my LinkedIn. Probably all going to happen in the next few weeks, but it's all going to be on my LinkedIn.
Okay. Sure. And what is your LinkedIn? Tell people, one, how to say your name, because it's, although it is Karika, it's not spelled how you think it is.
No, it's a trick.
So Alex, explain.
My LinkedIn is straightforward. It's Alexandra, my name, and then Karika, C-H-I-R-I-C-A.
Lovely.
Or Chirica, if you want to take by the spelling.
Well, I would have said Chirico, and then I would have probably been embarrassed with myself. So I had to make sure. So that's good. Well, brilliant. And well, the last thing I do with anybody, the last thing I try and sort of get people to sort of get involved is trying to get your takeaway points, I guess, for what can, when we're talking about candidates, what are your sort of 3 to 5, I guess, takeaway points for candidates that are looking for a new recruiter, for instance, which there probably are a few out there.
Good question. I would say number one is honesty. Finding someone who's going to tell you the absolute truth about the company or be very honest with you as a candidate if you are right or not right for the role.
Yeah, that's important.
Massively. And the second one I would say in investment, and by that I mean how invested are they in you? You want to have a relationship with your recruiters. So really figure out how much investment they put in you.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I get that.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, okay, good, good. So any more takeaway points, or do you feel that's...
Last thing, I think something that's become quite prominent is online presence. Just finding a recruiter who maybe is doing some stuff online. So that is because you get more familiar with that person. You start to build trust without you even realizing it. So you get familiar with their content, you get familiar with what they're doing, and you already feel as if they're probably a bit more approachable. To me, I just find it is trust straight away.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think there's, you know, it's nice to be able to see someone's face, how they interact. Recruiter's job is, you know, we are very forthcoming. We are there to ask all the questions and say the things that, you know, maybe not other people say. So you'll probably find that most of us are active somewhat somewhere, but I wouldn't say that should determine exactly that you choose from just based on that, because there's a lot of experienced recruiters that have been going for years and years and years that might not be so active on LinkedIn or other platforms. However, they should be somewhere. And remember, recruiters, it's okay not to get on with a recruiter. You can come and ring, you could speak to me, you could speak to Alex, and then we can go, look, we're not really your recruiter. And the reason why is we don't work with those particular jobs. None of my clients are that. Or to be honest, I think you need someone more with an expert knowledge of this. I don't know anyone, but maybe I could have a look around. And it's not necessarily picking and choosing a recruiter that there and then that's going to be your recruiter. It's probably more, you know, researching, having a chat, finding out a little bit more, and then deciding what works best for you.
Yeah, you have to go shopping.
That's it. And now we can now. Apparently, Alex.
I don't know.
I'm not going shopping in any shops where I can't touch something.
Yeah. I don't. They say all of a sudden shops are open, but I haven't been outside to check, and I'm not going to either. So I don't really know what's going on.
Well, I am going to say goodbye to you now, Alex. It's been an absolutely wonderful chat. It's been really, really nice to get to know you. And I'm hoping the listeners have really liked your new business idea and will probably look out for you. So that's Tail, that's her company, that's what she's going to be bringing to the industry, the recruitment industry, and offering some of those fantastic benefits. You can find her, as you mentioned before, on LinkedIn. And she is called Alexandra Karika with a C. Okay, so definitely check her out. She'll be more than happy to have a chat with you. Other than that, I will let you go, Alex. Thank you so much for joining me here today. And I will intently watch you and everything that's going on your journey as you set up.
Thank you so much for having me on, Claire.
No worries. You're welcome. Have a wonderful week.
You too. You. Take
Bye.
Care.
Bye. Bye. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to that episode of me and Alex discuss her little new venture about how to support candidates on their recruitment journey in the fintech space. I know I will definitely be watching her journey as she grows in this space. If you like what you heard, please remember to follow and share.